The following is a discourse at Vamshivata, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasat Hikari, recorded on November 20th, 2015, in Vrindavan, India.
Keshi Gata Vamshivata Dvadasha Kana Sabalila koilo shinanananda So, here we are at Vamshivata. We sing all glories to the Vamshivata tree. We're sitting under the tree right now. This is where Krishna attracted all the gopis by playing his flute. So this is a very special holy place in all of Vrindavan. There's a authorized Vaishnava scripture called the Bhakti Ratnakara, which describes how this something of this place. Please see how this wonderfully beautiful Vamshivata on the bank of the Jamuna. The shade of the Vamshivata tree is the best of the world. Can you imagine? This tree is so potent, it removes the distress of the whole world. Lord Gopinath eternally enjoys his pastimes here. His attractive dress enchants the world, and his movements are flawless as the sound of his flute attracts the gopis. This place is the original tree was actually washed away. The original banyan tree was washed away about 450 years ago. But Paramananda Goswami, he got one of the branches and he planted it in the same spot. So this is actually a child or an offspring of the original tree from 5,000 years ago, descendant. And when he was planting the branch, he found a deity buried here. Now, how many of you went to Jaipur and saw the Gopinath deity there, the third temple we went to? How many were in Jaipur? Yeah. Well, that's where this deity was found, right here. We're sitting right now. That Paramananda Goswami found the Gopinath deity right here at this spot. This is a very, very holy place. That deity of Gopinath was originally installed 5,000 years ago by Vrajranath, the great grandson of Krishna. So there's many, many nice verses actually about this Vamshivata place. It'll be part of our Vaishnava tradition. Sriman Rasa Rasamrambi Vamshivata Tatastita Karshan Venu Svanaya Gopir Gopinatha Shriyeshtunaha. Sri Gopinath, who originated the transcendental mellow of the Rasadat, stands on the shore in Vamshivata and attracts the attention of the cowherd damsels with the sound of his celebrated flute. They all confer upon us their benediction. Shriman Rasa Rasarambi Vamshivata Tatastitaha. Yes. Very nice verse. It's quoted in several places in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about this place, Vamshivata. Also, the song that we sing in the temple room every morning. Jashoda Nandana Kangsanis Nikunja Rasa Vilasi. Prabhupada gave a purport about this song, Nikunja Rasa. Nikunja actually refers to Vamshivata. Prabhupada said, Jashoda Nandana Kangsanis Sudana. He is very much celebrated as the son of Mother Jasoda. He is the killer of Kamsa. Nikunja Rasa Vilasi. And he used to dance rasa dance in the Nikunja, Vamsivata Nikunja. So this spot, you can see they've made the paintings of rasa dance here. This is where Krishna danced rasa dance. It's a very, very, very... This is the most... The highest level perfection of Krishna's pastimes is the rasa dance. And this is the spot. So just can imagine how potent this is. Prabhupada said in his purport, he used to dance rasa dance in the Nikunja, Vamsivata Nikunja, Kadamba Kanana Rasa Parayana. There are many Kadamba trees. Kadamba is a kind of flower that is especially grown in Vrindavan, very fragrant and beautiful, solid flower round. So Kadamba Kanana, he used to enjoy his rasa dance beneath the tree of this Kadamba. Not only is this a place of Krishna's pastimes, but in the prayers of the Goswamis, the six Goswamis. Radha kundatate kalinditanaya tire chavangshi vate prema manda vashandeshesha dasaya grashto pramato sada Gayanto chakada haregunavaram bhavam bibhuto muda Vande rupa sanatana raghu yugo Shri jiva gopalako. I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Srila Rupa Goswami, Sri Sanatana Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who were sometimes on the bank of the Radhakunda Lake or on the shores of the Jamuna, and sometimes at Vamsivat. There they appear just like madmen in full ecstasy of love for Krishna, exhibiting different transcendental symptoms in their bodies, and they've emerged in the ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. So the Goswamis used to come to this place and go into absolute, the highest level of transcendental ecstasies in this place, appearing as madmen in this place, you see. So that we keep our sanity here means that we're not very advanced. We're not going mad in love of God, but coming to this place. We're thinking, well, now Vamsivata and then breakfast. Right? So it just shows we're not very high level devotees like the Goswamis. So now we'll read something from the Bhakti Ratnakar about this place. Please see how this wonderfully beautiful Vamsivata on the bank of the Jamuna, the shade of the Vamsivata. We've read that translation already. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it is said, Srila Gopinath, who originated the transcendental mellow of the rasa dance, stands on the shore of Vamsivata and attracts the attention of the cowherd damsels with the sound of his celebrated flute. May they all confer upon us their benediction. This place, Vamsivata, was flooded and disappeared in the waters of the Jamuna. The Goswami, that was Paramananda Goswami, collected one branch from the original tree and replanted that branch next to the original place. O Srinivas, this place is supremely enchanting and cool. Breezes slowly blow here. After leaving behind everything in great agitation from the sound of the flute, the gopis came here to meet Lord Krishna. They swam in the ocean of Krishna's beauty, and Krishna, seeing their love, could not remain steady. Who can understand how Krishna calmly inquired about the gopis' welfare in a happy mood? In this way, Krishna has tested the love of the gopis at this place, as he instructed them in various ways to return to their homes. As the rasa dance began, Krishna observed the different grades of gopis and decided to leave them, taking Radharani alone with him. Hiding at this place, Krishna happily heard the gopis' lamentation. Left alone by Krishna, the gopis inquired from the trees and creepers about his whereabouts. The gopis began imitating Krishna's pastimes, and they glorified Srimati Radharani's fortunate position. After fulfilling the desires of Radharani, Krishna left her also at this place. Seeing Radharani in this state, the other gopis, agitated at heart, tried to pacify her in many ways. They all assembled together, eagerly desirous to see Krishna. They began to endlessly glorify his transcendental qualities. So if you look in the Krishna book, you will find there is more description about Vamshivata. In chapter 9, the Rasa Dance introduction, and we don't have time to read the whole thing. I'll read a few selections here and we can talk about it as well. When Krishna, the supreme enjoyer, desired to enjoy the companies of the gopis on that full moon night of the Sharad season, exactly at that very moment, just try to imagine this happened right here. Just try to imagine, go back in your mind 5,000 years and try to visualize what it must have been like at this spot 5,000 years ago. When Krishna, the supreme enjoyer, desired to enjoy the company of the gopis on that full moon night of the Sharad season, exactly at that very moment, the moon, the lord of the stars, appeared in the sky, displaying its most beautiful features. The full moon night of the Sharad season is the most beautiful night in the year. In the Indian city of Agra in Uttar Pradesh province, there is a great monument called the Taj Mahal, which is a tomb made of first-class marble stone. During the night of the full moon of the Sharad season, many foreigners go to see the beautiful reflections of the moon on the tomb. Thus, this full moon night is celebrated even today for its beauty. When the full moon rose in the east, it tinged everything with a reddish color. With the rising of the moon, the whole sky appeared smeared by red kumkum. When the husband, long separated from his wife, returns home, he decorates the face of his wife with red kumkum. This long-expected moonrise of the Sharad season was thus smearing the eastern sky. The appearance of the moon increased Krishna's desire to dance with the gopis. The forests were filled with fragrant flowers. The atmosphere was cooling and festive. When Lord Krishna began to blow his flute, the gopis all over Vrindavan became enchanted. Their attraction to the vibration of the flute increased 1,000 times due to the rising full moon, the red horizon, the calm and cool atmosphere, and the blossoming flowers. All the gopis were by nature very much attracted to Krishna's beauty, and when they heard the vibration of his flute, they became apparently lustful to satisfy the senses of Krishna. Immediately upon hearing the vibration of the flute, they all left their respective engagements and proceeded to the spot where Krishna was standing. That's right here, if you can imagine. They rushed, the gopis all rushed to this spot right here. While they ran very swiftly, their earrings swung back and forth. They all rushed towards the place known as Vamshivat. Some of them were engaged in milking cows, but they left their milking business half finished and immediately went to Krishna. One of them had just collected milk and put it on a milk pan on the stove to boil, but she did not care whether the milk overboiled and spilled. She immediately left to go see Krishna. Some of them were breastfeeding their small babies, and some were engaged in distributing food to the members of their families, but they all left such engagements and immediately rushed toward this spot where Krishna was playing his flute. Some were engaged in serving their husbands and were themselves engaged in eating, but caring neither to serve their husbands nor eat, they immediately left. Some of them wanted to decorate their faces with cosmetic ointments and address themselves very nicely before going to Krishna, but unfortunately, they could not finish their cosmetic decorations or put their clothes on in the right way because of their anxiety to meet Krishna immediately. Their faces were decorated hurriedly and were haphazardly finished. Some even put the lower part of their clothes on the upper part of their bodies, and the upper part on the lower part, if you can imagine that one. While all the gopis were hurriedly leaving their respective places, their husbands, brothers, and fathers were all struck with wonder to know where they were going. being young girls, they were protected either by husbands, either brothers or fathers. All their guardians forbade them to go to Krishna, but they disregarded them. When a person becomes attracted by Krishna and is full in Krishna consciousness, he does not care for any worldly duties, even though very urgent. Krishna consciousness is so powerful that it gives everyone relief from all material activities. Srila Rupa Goswami has written a very nice verse wherein one gopi advises another. Actually, I can give you the Sanskrit for that verse. Smaran bangi traya parachitan sachi vishtir nadrishtin vangshirista vishkishadayam mujvirantam dakena. Govindakyam haritam intaha keshita yutupakamte ma pikshishtista devyati sake bandhistangusti rangaha. My dear friend, if you desire to enjoy the company of material society, friendship and love, then please do not go to see this smiling boy Govinda, who is standing on the bank of the Jamuna and playing his flute, his lips brightened by the beams of the full moonlight. Srila Rupa Goswami indirectly instructs that one who has been captivated by the beautiful smiling face of Krishna has lost all attraction for material enjoyments. This is the test of advancement in Krishna consciousness. A person advancing in Krishna consciousness must lose interest in material activities and personal sense gratification. Some of the gopis were factually detained from going to Krishna by their husbands and were locked up by force within their rooms. Being unable to go to Krishna, they began to meditate on his transcendental form by closing their eyes. They already had the form of Krishna within their minds. They proved to be the greatest yogis. As is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, a person who is constantly thinking of Krishna within his heart with faith and love, it's considered to be the topmost of all yogis. Actually, a yogi concentrates his mind on the form of Lord Vishnu. That is real yoga. Krishna is the original form of all Vishnu tattvas. The gopis could not go to Krishna perfect personally, so they began to meditate on him as perfect yogis. The gopi associates of Krishna who assembled in the place where Krishna was appearing there were from different groups. Most of the gopis were eternal companions of Krishna. As stated in the Brahma Samhita, Ananda Chinmaya Ratprapritavatabhi. In the spiritual world, the associates of Krishna, especially the gopis, are manifestations of the pleasure potency of Lord Krishna. They are expansions of Srimati Radharani. But when Krishna exhibits his transcendental pastimes within the material world in some of the universes, not only the eternal associates of Krishna come, but also those who are being promoted to that status from this material world. So some of the gopis who joined Krishna's pastimes within this material world were coming from the status of ordinary human beings. If they had been bound by fruit of action, they were fully freed from the reaction of karma by constant meditation on Krishna. Their severely painful yearnings, caused by their not being able to see Krishna, freed them from all sinful reactions, and their ecstasy of transcendental love for Krishna in his absence ended all their reactions to material pious activities. The conditioned soul is subjected to birth and death either by pious or sinful activities, but the gopis who began to meditate on Krishna transcended both positions and became purified and thus elevated to the status of the gopis, already expanded by his pleasure potency. All the gopis who concentrated their minds on Krishna in the spirit of paramour love became fully purified of all the fruitive reactions of material nature, and some of them immediately gave up their material bodies, developed under the three modes of material nature. Maharaj Parikshit heard Shukadeva Goswami explain the situation of the gopis who assembled with Krishna in the Rasa dance. When he heard that some of the gopis, simply by concentrating on Krishna as their paramour, became free from all contamination of material birth and death, he said, "The gopis did not know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They accepted him as a beautiful boy, considered him to be their paramour. So how is it possible for them to get free from the material condition just by thinking of a paramour? Won't you consider here that Krishna and ordinary living beings are qualitatively one? the ordinary living beings, being part and parcel of Krishna, are also Brahman. But Krishna is the supreme Parabrahman. The question is, if it is possible for a devotee to get free from the material contaminated state simply by thinking of Krishna, then why should this not be possible for others who are also thinking of someone? If one is thinking of a husband or a son, if anyone at all is thinking of another living entity, then since all living entities are also Brahman, then why are all those who think of others not free from the contaminated stage of material nature? This is a very intelligent question, because there are always atheists imitating Krishna. In these days of Kali Yuga, there are many rascals who think themselves to be as good as Krishna, and who cheat people into believing that thinking of them is as good as thinking of Krishna. Parikshit Maharaj, apprehending the future dangerous condition of the blind followers of demoniac imitators, therefore asked this question. And fortunately, it is recorded in the Srimad Bhagavatam to warn innocent people that thinking of an ordinary man and thinking of Krishna are not the same. Actually, even thinking of the demigods cannot compare with thinking of Krishna. It is warned in the Vaishnava Tantra that one who puts Vishnu, Naraya, or Krishna on the same level as the demigods is called a Pashandi, or rascal. On hearing this question from Maharaj Parikshit, Sukadeva Goswami replied, "My dear king, your question is already answered even before this incident." Because Parikshit Maharaj wanted to clear up the situation, his spiritual master answered him very intelligently, "Why are you again asking about the same subject matter which has already been explained to you? Why are you so forgetful?" A spiritual master is always in the superior position, so he has a right to chastise his disciple in this way. Sukadeva Goswami knew that Maharaj Parikshit asked the question not for his own understanding, but as a warning to the future innocent people who might think others to be equal to Krishna. When all the gopis assembled, as described before Krishna, he began to speak to them, welcoming them as discouraging them by word jugglery. Krishna is the supreme speaker. He is the speaker of the Bhagavad Gita. He can speak on the highest elevated subjects of philosophy, politics, economics, everything. And he also spoke before the gopis who were so dear to him. He wanted to enchant them by word jugglery, and thus began to speak as follows. "O ladies of Vrindavan," Krishna said, "you are very fortunate and you are very dear to me. I am very much pleased that you have come here, and I hope everything is well in Vrindavan. Now please order me. What can I do for you? What is the purpose of your coming here in the dead of night? Kindly take your seats and let me know what I can do for you." The gopis had come to Krishna to enjoy his company, to dance with him, embrace him and kiss him. And Krishna began to receive them very officially, showing all kinds of etiquette. They were surprised. He was treating them like ordinary society women. Therefore, they began to smile among themselves, and though they very eagerly listened to Krishna talk in that way, they were surprised. Then Krishna began to instruct them, "My dear friends, you must know that it is now the dead of night, and the forest is very dangerous." There wasn't a city. This was a forest back in those days. It wasn't a big town. It was the forest with all kinds of wild animals. "My dear friends, you must know now is the dead of night, and the forest is very dangerous. At this time, all the ferocious jungle animals, the tigers, bears, jackals, and wolves are prowling in the forest. Therefore, it is very dangerous for you. You cannot select a secure place. Now, everywhere you go, you will find all these animals are loitering to find their prey. I think, therefore, you are taking a great risk in coming here in the dead of night. Please turn back immediately without delay." When he saw they continued to smile, he said, "I very much appreciate your bodily features. All of you have very nice thin waists." All the gopis were exquisitely beautiful. They are described by the word samadjama. The standard of beauty of a woman is said to be samadjama when the middle portion of the body is slender. Krishna wanted to impress on them they were not old enough to take care of themselves. Actually, they required protection. It was not very wise for them to come in the dead of night to Krishna. Krishna also indicated he was young and they were young girls. It does not look very good for young boys and girls to remain together in the dead of night. After hearing this, the gopis did not seem very happy. Therefore, Krishna began to stress the point in a different way. My dear friends, I can understand that you have left your homes without the permission of your guardians. Therefore, I think your mothers, your fathers, your elder brothers, and even your sons, and what to speak of your husbands, must be very anxious to find you. As long as you were here, you must be searching. They must be searching in different places, and their minds must be very agitated. So don't tarry. Please go back and make them peaceful. You see how Krishna is playing with the gopis. Huh? What's she saying?
What chapter and what verse?
This is a Krishna book. The Rasadas introduction. Yeah. Chapter 29 in the Krishna book, Devi. You come here, I can help you find it.
I'll find it.
Okay. When the gopis appear to be a little bit disturbed and angry from hearing the free advice of Krishna, they were disturbed, they were getting pretty angry now. We came here to... And now he's telling us to go back, they were getting angry at him. What's this rascal telling us to go back? Getting angry, is he? They diverted their attention looking at the beauty of the forest. Now just imagine how beautiful this forest, this place must have been 5,000 years ago. At that time, the whole forest was illuminated by the bright shining of the moon, and the air was blowing very silently over the blooming flowers, and the green leaves of the trees were moving in the breeze. Krishna took the opportunity of their looking at the forest to advise them, "I think you've come out to see the beautiful Vrindavan forest in this night," he said, "but now you must be satisfied. So you return to your homes without delay." You came to see the forest, not to see me, right? You just came out to enjoy the forest. So now you go home. Return home and engage in the faithful service of your respective husbands. Some of you have babies at this time, so although you're very young, you must have left your small babies at home. They must be crying. Please immediately go back home and just feed them with your breast milk. I understand that you have great affection for me, and out of that transmittable affection, you have come here hearing my playing of the flute. Your feelings of love and affection are very appropriate, because I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. All living beings are my parts and parcels, and naturally they are affectionate to me. So this affection for me is very welcome, and I congratulate you for this. Now you can go back to your homes. Another thing I must explain to you is that for a chaste woman, service to the husband without duplicity is the best religious principle. Not only should a woman be faithful and chaste to her husband, but she should also be affectionate to the friends of her husband, obedient to the father and mother of her husband, and affectionate to the younger brothers of her husband, and most importantly, a woman must take care of her children. In this way, Krishna explained the duty of a woman. He also stressed the point of serving the husband. Even if he is not a very good character, even if he is not very rich or fortunate, or even if he is old or invalid on account of continued diseases, whatever her husband's condition, a woman should not divorce her husband if she actually desires to be elevated to the higher planetary systems after leaving this body. Besides that, it is very considered abominable in a society if a woman is unfaithful and goes searching for another man. Such habits will deter a woman from being elevated to the heavenly planets, and the result of such habits are very degrading. A married woman should not search for a paramour, for this is not sanctioned in the Vedic principles of life. If you think you're very much attached to me and you want my association, I advise you not to personally try to enjoy me. It is better you to go home, simply talk about me and think of me. And by this process of constantly remembering me and chanting my names, you will surely be elevated to the spiritual platform. There is no need to stand near me. Please go back home. Oh boy. We don't have time to read the whole thing. We only have about 10 more minutes. We can go on as long as we want now?
Now you can sit all day.
Now you can sit all day.
I have the whole day? Wow, we can just... Maybe we can become like madmen here in this place. We can follow the Goswami's path. We can all go, if we go deep into this reading, we all become transcendental madmen and lose external consciousness and actually see the the pastime happening for us. That'd be pretty nice, wouldn't it? Just go and lose all external consciousness, become completely mad with the love of God, and lose external consciousness and see these pastimes actually happening right now. That'd be really wonderful if we could do that. Let's try to really go deep into this reading. The instruction given herein by the Supreme Personality of Godhead to the gopis was not at all sarcastic. Such instruction should be taken very seriously by all honest women. The chastity of women is specifically stressed herein by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, this principle should be followed by any serious woman who wants to be elevated to a higher status of life. Krishna is the center of all affection for all living creatures. When this affection is developed for Krishna, one surpasses and transcends all Vedic injunctions. This was possible for the gopis because they saw Krishna face to face. This is not possible for any woman in the conditioned state. Unfortunately, sometimes a rascal following the philosophy of monism or oneness very irresponsibly takes advantage of this rasa lila to imitate the behavior of Krishna with the gopis, entice many innocent women, and mislead them in the name of spiritual realization. As a warning, Lord Krishna is herein hinted that what was possible for the gopis is not possible for ordinary women. Although a woman can be actually elevated by advanced Krishna consciousness, she should not be enticed by an imposter who says that he is Krishna. She should concentrate her devotional activities in chanting and meditating upon Krishna, as advised herein. One should not follow the men called sahajiyas, the so-called devotees who take everything very lightly. When Krishna spoke in such a discouraging way to the gopis, they became very sad, for they thought that their desire to enjoy the rasa dance with Krishna would be frustrated. Thus they became full of anxiety. Out of great sadness, the gopis began to breathe very heavily. Instead of looking at Krishna face to face, they bowed their heads and looked at the ground, and they began to draw various types of curved lines on the ground with their toes. They were shedding heavy tears, and their cosmetic decorations were being washed from their faces. The water from their eyes mixed with the kumkum on their breasts and fell to the ground. They could not say anything to Krishna, but simply stood there silently. By their silence, they expressed that their hearts were grievously wounded. The gopis were not ordinary women. In essence, they were on an equal level with Krishna. They were his eternal associates. That is, as it is confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, they are expansions of the pleasure potency of Krishna. And as his potency, they are non-different from him. Although they were depressed by the words of Krishna, they did not like to use harsh words against him. Yet they wanted to rebuke Krishna for his unkind words, and therefore they began to speak in faltering voices. They did not like to use harsh words against Krishna because he was their dearmost, their heart and soul. The gopis had only Krishna within their hearts. They were completely surrendered and dedicated souls. Naturally, when they heard such unkind words, they tried to reply, but in the attempt, torrents of tears fell from their eyes. Finally, they managed to speak. "Krishna," they said, "you are very cruel. You should not talk like that. We are full-fledged surrendered souls. Please accept us and don't talk in that cruel way." "Of course you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It can do whatever you like, but it is not worthy of your position to treat us in such a cruel way. We have come to you leaving everything behind just to take shelter of your lotus feet. We know that you are completely independent and can do whatever you like, but we request you, don't reject us. We are your devotees. You should accept us as Lord Narayan accepts his devotees. There are many devotees of Lord Narayan who worship him for salvation, and he awards them salvation. Similarly, how can you reject us when we have no shelter other than your lotus feet?" "Oh Lord, dear Krishna," they continue, "you are the supreme instructor. There is no doubt about it. Your instructions to women to be faithful to their husbands and merciful to their children, to take care of household affairs and to be obedient to the other members of the family are surely just according to the tenets of the Shastras. But we know that one may perfectly absorb all these instructions of the Shastras by keeping oneself under the protection of your lotus feet. Our husbands, fathers, friends, family members and children are all dear and pleasing to us only because of your presence. For you are the super soul of all living creatures. Without your presence, one is worthless. When you leave the body dies immediately. The body immediately dies, and according to the injunction of the Shastras, a dead body must immediately be thrown into a river or burned. Therefore, ultimately, you are the dearmost personality in this world. By placing our faith and love in your personality, we are assured of never being bereft of husband, friends, sons, or daughters. If a woman accepts you as the supreme husband, then she will never be bereft of her husband, as in the bodily concept of life. If we accept you as our ultimate husband, there is no question of being separated, divorced, or widowed. You are the eternal husband, eternal son, eternal friend, and eternal master, and one who enters into a relationship with you is eternally happy. Since you are the teacher of all religious principles, your lotus feet have to be worshipped first. According to the Shastras, they stated, Acharya Upasana, the worship of your lotus feet is the first principle. Besides that, as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, you are the only enjoyer, you are the only proprietor, and you are the only friend. As such, we have come to you, leaving aside all so-called friends, society, and love, and now you become our enjoyer. Let us be everlastingly enjoyed by you. Be our proprietor, for that is your natural claim, and be our supreme friend, for you are naturally so. Let us embrace you as the supreme beloved. The gopis told lotus-eyed Krishna, please do not discourage our long-cherished desires to have you as our husband. Any intelligent man who cares for his own self-interest reposes all his loving spirit in you. Persons who are simply misled by the external energy, who want to be satisfied by false concepts, try to enjoy themselves apart from you. The so-called husband, friend, son, daughter, and mother are all simply sources of material misery. No one is made happy in this material world by having a so-called father, mother, husband, son, daughter, and friend. Although the father and mother are expected to protect the children, there are many children who are suffering for want of food and shelter. There are many good physicians, but when a patient dies, no physician can revive him. There are many means of protection, but when one is doomed, none of the protective measures can help. And without your protection, the so-called sources of protection simply become sources of continued distress. We therefore appeal to you, dear Lord of all lords, please do not kill our long-cherished desires to have you as our supreme husband. O Krishna, dear Krishna, as women, we are certainly satisfied when our hearts are engaged in the activities of family affairs, but our hearts have already been stolen by you. We can no longer engage them in family affairs. Besides that, although you have repeatedly asked us to return home, and that is a very appropriate instruction, unfortunately we become stunned here. Our legs have no power to move a step from your lotus feet. Therefore, even if you request we return home, what should we do there? We have lost all ability to act without you. Instead of engaging our hearts in family affairs as women, we have now developed a different type of lust, which is continually blazing in our hearts. Now we request you, dear Krishna, to extinguish that fire with your beautiful smile and the transcendental vibration emanating from your lips. If you do not agree to do us this favor, we shall certainly be burned in the fire of separation. In that condition, we will just simply think of you and your beautiful features and give up our bodies immediately. In that way, we think it will be possible for us to reside at your lotus feet in the next life. Dear Krishna, if you say that we go home, our respective husbands will satisfy the lusty flame of our desire, we can only say that that is no longer possible. You have given us a chance to be enjoyed by you in the forest and have touched our breasts once in the past, which we accepted as a blessing, as do the goddesses of fortune who are enjoyed in the Vaikuntha lokas by you. Since we have tasted this transcendental enjoyment, we are no longer interested in going to anybody but you for the satisfaction of our lust. Dear Krishna, the lotus feet of the goddess of fortune are always worshipped by the demigods. Although she is always resting on your chest in the Vaikuntha planets, she underwent great austerity and penance to have some shelter at your lotus feet, which are always covered by tulsi leaves. Your lotus feet are the proper shelter of your servitors, and the goddess of fortune, instead of abiding your chest, comes down and worships your lotus feet. We have now placed ourselves under the dust of your feet. Please do not reject us, for we are fully surrendered souls. Dear Krishna, you are known as Hari. You destroy all the miseries of all living entities, specifically of those who have left their homes and family attachment and have completely taken to you. We have left our homes with the hope that we shall completely devote and dedicate our lives in your service. We are simply begging to be engaged as your servants. We do not wish to ask you to accept us as your wives. Simply accept us as your maidservants. Since you are the Supreme Personality of Godhead and to enjoy the Parakya Rasa, and are famous as the transcendental woman hunter, we have come to satisfy your transcendental desires. We are also after our own satisfaction, for simply by looking at your smiling face, we have become very lusty. We have come before you decorated with all ornaments and dress, but until you embrace us, all our garments and beautiful features remain incomplete. You are the Supreme Person, and if you complete our dressing attempt as the Purusha Bhushana, or the male ornament, then all our desires and bodily decorations are complete. Dear Krishna, we have simply been captivated by seeing you with tilak and with earrings and by seeing your beautiful face covered with scattered hair and bearing your extraordinary smile. Not only that, but we are also attracted by your arms, which always give assurance to the surrendered souls. And although we are also attracted by your chest, which is always embraced by the goddess of fortune, we do not wish to take her position. We shall simply be satisfied by being your maidservants. If you accuse us, however, of encouraging prostitution, then we can only ask, where is that woman within these three worlds who is not captivated by your beauty and the rhythmic songs vibrated by your transcendental flute? Within these three worlds, there is no distinction between men and women in relation to you, because men and women belong to the marginal potency of your Prakriti. No one is actually the enjoyer or the male. Everyone is meant to be enjoyed by you. There is no woman within these three worlds who cannot but deviate from her path of chastity once she is attracted to you, because your beauty is so sublime that not only men and women, but also cows, birds, beasts, and even trees, flutes, and fruits and flowers, everyone and everything become enchanted. And what to speak of ourselves? It is, however, definitely decided that as Lord Vishnu is always protecting the demigods from the onslaught of demons, so you have also advented in Vrindavan just to give the residents protection from all kinds of distress. Oh, dear friend of the distress, kindly place your hand on our burning breasts as well as on our heads, because we have surrendered unto you as your eternal maidservants. If you think, however, that your lotus-like palms might be burned to ashes if placed on our burning breasts, let us assure you that your palms will feel pleasure instead of pain, as the lotus flower, although very delicate and soft, enjoys the scorching heat of the sun. Wow, these gopis are really putting forward their plea with great... Wow, they're really putting it forward. Now let's see what Krishna has to say. After all that, upon hearing the anxious pleas of the gopis, the Supreme Personality of Godhead smiled and being very kind to the gopis. The Lord, although self-effulgent, began to embrace them and kiss them as they desired. When Krishna, smiling, looked at the faces of the gopis, the beauty of their faces became 100 times enhanced. When he was enjoying them in their midst, he appeared just like the full moon surrounded by millions of shining stars. Thus, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, surrounded by hundreds of gopis and decorated with a flower garland of many colors, began to wander within the Vrindavan forest, sometimes singing to himself, and sometimes singing with the gopis. In this way, the Lord and the gopis reached the cool, sandy bank of the Jamuna, where there were lilies and lotus flowers. In such a transcendental atmosphere, the gopis and Krishna began to enjoy one another. While they were walking on the bank of the Jamuna, Krishna would sometimes put his arms around a gopi's head, breast, or waist, pinching one another and joking, and looking at one another, they enjoyed. When Krishna touched the bodies of the gopis, their lust to embrace them increased. They all enjoyed these pastimes. The gopis were blessed with all mercy by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, for they enjoyed his company without a tinge of mundane sex life. You don't read about pregnancy or abortion from the Rasa Lila. Krishna remained a perfect brahmachari in spite of all of this. The gopis, however, soon began to feel very proud, thinking themselves to be the most fortunate woman in the universe, fortunate women in the universe, due to their being favored by the company of Krishna. Krishna, who is known as Keshava, could immediately understand their pride caused by their great fortune by enjoying him personally. In order to show them his causeless mercy and to curb their false pride, he immediately disappeared from the scene, exhibiting his opulence of renunciation. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is always filled with six kinds of opulences, and this is an instance of the opulence of renunciation. This renunciation confirms Krishna's total non-attachment. He is always self-sufficient and is not dependent on anything. This is the platform of which his transcendental pastimes were enacted. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purport of the 29th chapter of Krishna, the Rasa Dance Introduction. So we should stop here? Or read the next chapter too? Krishna's... Actually, you can go home and read the second chapter. Huh? You want to come forward on this side?
Mataji, I'm asking you to explain everything.
Not to take it as mundane?
Yeah.
Yes. Prabhupada is actually... We should never take this as mundane. Some mundane, lusty affairs. First of all, Krishna didn't have... He didn't have sex with any of the gopis. The gopis actually they're absolutely free of any tinge of selfish desire for sex pleasure. That they are the pure devotees on the highest level of perfection. There's five different rasas. There's neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parenthood, and conjugal. The conjugal relationship, it has two divisions, Svakiya and Parakiya. Svakiya means like the queens in Dwarka, they're married to Krishna. Parakiya means paramour lovers like the gopis. Now this paramour, the intensity of love with a paramour is more intense than with a married love relationship. So this is the highest intensity of love of God, the paramour relationship of the gopis with Krishna. The reality is they're simply wanting to satisfy Krishna, that's all. They have no tinge of selfish desire, and Krishna is the rightful enjoyer. Some man criticized, well, how Krishna can enjoy with other men's wives? You see, he criticized, some Indian man criticized Krishna. Krishna is, he's not a proper Hindu gentleman because he enjoyed other men's wives. But actually, this man is a rascal because he's thinking his wife belongs to him. Actually, Krishna Bhaktadam Jagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshvadam Suhridam Sarvabhutanam Gyatamam Shantamrichtati. Krishna says, I am the supreme owner, therefore I am the supreme enjoyer, and I am the best friend. One who knows this is the knower, the proper knower of everything. He can only that person can have peace. So everything that exists is actually the energy of Krishna. He is the rightful enjoyer of everything. It's like you, in a mundane sense, you're the owner, you're the proprietor of your belly. So you get to enjoy your belly by eating, you see. I can't enjoy your belly. That's not my position. You can enjoy your own belly by feeding it, you see. So everything is Krishna's belly in one sense. Everything that exists is his rightful enjoyment. So it's not wrong for Krishna to dance with the gopis. They're not really the property of their husbands. They're actually all Krishna's property, eternally. But to make that for a certain excitement of the loving relationship, they apparently had husbands, you see. So maybe there's some questions about this sublime nectar. You can also study, we encourage you to study the Krishna book. There's some more, the next chapter is Krishna hiding from the gopis, that it continues the same storyline. You can go home and read this today. Or when you get back to your countries, you can read again these stories. They're not stories, these are histories. These are factual things. This is the place where it happened. So, any question? Yeah.
He has a question, how many gopis was in that Ratsa dance and what this gopis was in previous lives?
How many gopis? Scribes here are hundreds, but we also read... that's an interesting question. You mentioned hundreds here, but it's multitudes of hundreds, certainly, if not millions and billions. Be interesting to read it. We can read in various places. I can research that in the Veda base. I wouldn't be surprised if it was an unlimited number of gopis, an infinite number of gopis. That wouldn't surprise me a bit. Even the other day we went to Bimalkund in Kamyavam. He had 10 million, was it 10 million wives or 10 million servants?
Daughters.
Huh?
Daughters.
10 million daughters. Huh? There was 10 million girls. And, you know, so if the ordinary king, Bimbo, could have 10 million girls, how many girls could Krishna dance with? You know, 10 million is nothing. And, you know, 10 billion, 10 trillion. So it'd be interesting to... I can do some research. It'd be a fun thing to research in the Veda base. But I wouldn't be surprised if it was if an infinite number of gopis, an absolutely unlimited number of gopis.
1,108.
Huh? 16,108? That's his queens in Dwarka.
No, the same number.
Be interesting to research how many gopis he danced with. I don't know, but it's definitely... a huge number. Humongous number. And that was the next question.
Who was these gopis in previous lives?
Some Prabhupada describes, many of them were his eternal associates from the spiritual world. Others were conditioned souls who are now getting liberated. It's described in the Krishna book elsewhere. Some of them were sages during the time of Lord Ramachandra, who wanted to have a conjugal relationship, so they took birth again as gopis and Krishna appeared. You can read that in Krishna book also, or somewhere it's written in Prabhupada books. The sages during Lord Ram's time, who had the desire, they became gopis and Krishna lila. Now as far as everyone thinking, what is my role? So maybe I'm a gopi. Just because you're a woman doesn't mean necessarily a gopi. Just because you're in a male body doesn't mean necessarily you're a gopa. Your rasa has nothing to do with your present material body. You could be a flute. You could be a twig. You see, you could just be a leaf in Vrindavan. Krishna steps on him. So we don't know, that's neutrality, Sanchavara. So we don't know what our relationship with Krishna, we don't worry about it right now. Don't try to figure it out. Maybe I'm a monkey in Krishna's pastime. See, we don't worry about that. Just be a sold out servant of your spiritual master. That is your eternal relationship. Even in the spiritual world, you recognize your spiritual master. You realize Guru Mataji also in the spiritual world. And you know that you're my disciples and you're all God brothers and God sisters. You see, that you'll remember. You may have, some may be gopis, some may be gopas, but we'll all know, we're all the Sankarshananugas, you see. You'll know them. So, just be happy in your current relationship. Cultivate a good relationship with Guru, Guru Mother, with the ISKCON community, your ISKCON leaders, wherever you are. Cultivate a good relationship with Prabhupada's teachings. Try to understand Prabhupada's messages. Try to dedicate your life to Prabhupada's mission. And that's as good as being in the rasa dance. You see. If the Sankirtan movement of Lord Chaitanya is as good as being in the rasa dance. Well, Krishna wanted to taste the pleasure of Radharani. And for that person, he became Lord Chaitanya. So you can get the same pleasure of the gopis by the Sankirtan movement, by preaching Krishna consciousness, you see. So if you embrace this mission, the world will live, if you take the deliverance of the world as your life and soul, that now I dedicate myself fully to the life, the mission, ISKCON's world mission, you see, that my mission now is to dedicate my whole life for delivering the world. Prabhupada orders to become guru and deliver the whole world. Lord Chaitanya said, become a guru. He ordered everyone. So every one of us should actually become gurus and embrace the mission of delivering the whole world. How can I live my life in such a way that this whole world can become delivered? How can I become an ideal example of Krishna consciousness to inspire everyone to take it up by my example? This is called acharya. So we should all become acharyas. Prabhupada, we'll have 10 million acharyas in ISKCON, so I don't know where we're going to get them from. We're going to get them off of, recruit them from the internet. Here we have. You went to become the acharyas. Each one of you has become acharya, an ideal Vaishnava preacher. And that will be that embracing that mood of Lord Chaitanya, that will put you into the same ecstasy as the relationship between Krishna and the gopis. Because that's why Krishna became Lord Chaitanya. So he could taste Radharani's pleasure. Because he could see Radharani is enjoying more than me. I don't want to be outdone by this girl, so I'm going to go into the same mood. I'm going to take her complexion. I'll become, she is Gaurangi, the beautiful golden-limbed girl. I'll become Gauranga and taste the same mood of Radharani. So this preaching mood will actually bring you into the divine Krishna conscious state that we read about here. Any other questions? Yeah.
When we chanting our japa, does it mean that we are in the rasa dance?
When we're chanting japa, we're in the rasa dance. Not necessarily. Actually, we're pretty much in the modes of nature when we chant around. Beyond it. But when you reach the perfection of chanting Hare Krishna, then you'll see all the leelas. You can see all the leelas. Govardhan leela, Rasa leela, Kaliya leela. When your chanting becomes perfect, within the name of Krishna, you'll experience all the leelas. But right now, we're chanting in the modes of nature. Let's be honest. Lust, anger, greed, madness, illusion, envy, sleep. You see? That's where we're right now. We're chanting in the mode of ignorance. We're not there. But that day when your chanting becomes, when you come to Shudanam, then all the leelas become manifest. You can find you actually experience, you might be a participant in the Rasa Leela. You might be a monkey who's watching from a distance. You see what I'm saying? But you can see it. You can witness it. Not that you necessarily be in it. You might not be your rasa. You could be you could just be a piece of dust, a particle of Vrindavan dust. You know what I mean? So not necessarily that we may not be in that rasa with Krishna, or we might be. It is an interesting point. There's full freedom in the spiritual world. So whatever rasa you want to have, you can have. Now right now you can't, don't jump to it now, but when you're a perfected being, you can, whatever rasa you have, it's not like you're forced into it with handcuffs. You get to be whatever you want to be. It's possible, actually probably that it's possible to change your rasa in the spiritual world. You think, well, I'm a gopi, but I see that flute is getting more Krishna's lips more than me. And the gopi could switch to become a flute. You see what I'm saying? So this Prabhupada explains there's full freedom in the spiritual world to be whatever you want to be. When you go there, don't think you're going to be, I have to be a cowherd boy. I wanted to be a gopi. Oh, horrible. I got to be a cowherd boy. No, you can be whatever you want, but whatever you want to be, you will be that because that's the best. For you, that's the best. You see? The flute couldn't dream of wanting to become a gopi. Those poor gopis, they only get Krishna's lips every now and then. I get Krishna's lips constantly. Those gopis only every now and then. I wouldn't dream of wanting to become a gopi. As a flute, I'm much better off than the gopi. So whatever rasa you have, you'll know that's the best rasa. I'm a rock. It's funny, they had a pop song back in the 60s called Help, I'm a Rock. Help, I'm a Rock. When you would be going, Help, I'm a Rock, we go, "This, I'm the most fortunate. I'm the most fortunate of all the Brijabasis. I'm a rock. And Krishna steps on me every day." You see? Even we read how Uddhava, that big palace with the Prema Sarovara, what's it called?
Kusum Sarovara.
Uddhava is actually, he has taken birth as a creeper near Kusum Sarovara so the gopis can step on him. So he's actually entered into Shantaras, you see. Feeling that's the best position. For Uddhava, Shantaras is the best position. To be a creeper, the gopis can step on him. You can get the gopis' foot dust on his head. He's taken birth as a creeper in Kusum Sarovara. So in this way, everyone will gravitate towards, when you become perfect, you'll naturally gravitate towards whatever your eternal relationship with Krishna. But we'll all remember that we're followers of Prabhupada. You remember who your spiritual master is, your guru mother. This will all be remembered. And remember each other as God brothers and God sisters, etc. This is all eternal sweetness. It just gets sweeter and sweeter and sweeter and sweeter for all of eternity. And death doesn't mess with it. Once you're fixed in Krishna consciousness, death doesn't interfere with it at all. Death actually enhances it. When death comes, it means, oh, I get to go to the next level now. I get to crank it up to a higher level. You see, death is for a Vaishnava, death is like a glove jamun. Wow, cool. It's cool. Death is cool. Now I'd pop a glove jamun today. I feel like popping a glove jamun today. Go to another level of absorption in Krishna consciousness. So, any other questions? You had a question?
How about this possible that Prabhupada writes in Purport that when Krishna was dancing with gopis, they became proud that, oh, we are so successful girls in all the world, so how we can understand this in the proper way?
How to understand the pride of the gopis? Was it mundane pride?
No.
That's your question?
Yes.
The gopis were in Maya, therefore they had to take birth in the material world. No. This is a transcendental lila. The gopis are pure devotees. Everything they do, everything they're doing is rasa. Everything they're doing is giving pleasure to Krishna. When they become apparently proud, it's not material pride. It's all a transcendental drama. It's all pure bhakti. Every bit of it is pure bhakti. There's no mundane lust, no mundane pride in the hearts of the gopis. Their lust, their pride is all completely transcendental rasa with Krishna. Yes.
Who is organizing all this drama?
Huh?
Who is organizing all this drama, transcendental drama?
Who is organizing this drama?
Isn't it described that Purnamasi is the orchestrator of all these pastimes? She's the stage manager. Purnamasi. Yes?
Are there different levels of ecstasy experienced in the spiritual world, or is everyone experiencing the same amount of ecstasy, ever increasing, depending on what position they have?
Is everybody experiencing the same amount of ecstasy? Actually, the inhabitants of the spiritual world, every one of them is experiencing unlimited ecstasy. There's unlimited ecstasy experienced by every single inhabitant of the spiritual world. Whether you're Krishna, whether you're a gopi, whether you're a monkey, whether you're a tree, whatever you may be in the transcendental world, you're experiencing unlimited ecstasy at every minute. Ever-increasing unlimited ecstasy. Actually, even time is conspicuous by its absence there. So you can't even conceive it. You can jump forward and backward. You can. It's like on. You can with a. You have a video. You know, you can fast forward or rewind wherever you like to be on the video. Time is under in the spiritual world. You can fast forward. You can back. Can rewind, and then you can be wherever you want to be in Krishna's pastime. Okay. Question?
Gopis are
eternal consorts. Gopis are eternal consorts in the spiritual for Krishna.
Yes. Yeah.
So how can they be our example for us?
Because they're fully surrendered to Krishna. You can imitate them, but you have to follow. They are fully surrendered to Krishna. They have absolutely no other desire than to please Krishna. So that you have to follow. There are siksha gurus for you. Yeah, there are siksha gurus. They have no desire other than to please Krishna. They'll give up anything. They'll accept anything. They'll do anything. Absolutely no attachment to anything except Krishna. They are siksha gurus. Anything else? Yeah.
Why only gopis hear the sound of the flute?
Hear the sound of the flute? No, everyone hears the sound of the flute. Everyone enjoys the sound of the flute in the spiritual world. Even the rocks melt when they hear the flute in ecstasy. Everyone hears the flute, not just the gopis. Even the rocks can hear the flute in the spiritual world. In this material world, the animals are totally enchanted. When Krishna plays his flute, they go into ecstasy. You see? You can take... Huh? They freeze. You can take a number one hit song, you know, like take an old Beatles hit, you play it for a bunch of people, and they go, yeah, yeah. She loves you, yeah, yeah. Everybody grooves on it, you know. But play it, go to the zoo and play it, the animals won't even care, you know. She loves you, yeah, yeah, yeah. The animals won't care a bit. But in the spiritual world, when Krishna plays his flute, that's a real number one hit song, you see. The gopis go into ecstasy, the gopis go into ecstasy, the cows go into ecstasy, the deer, the monkeys... The flowers go into ecstasy when they and Krishna plays his flute. Now that's a real number one hit. You see, then that's the only real number one hits are in the spiritual world. Krishna's flute is a number one hit. The so-called number one hits of this world, they never actually appeal to everybody. It's just some hype number one hit.
What represents Krishna's flute sound in material world?
What represents the sound of the flute? How is it represented here? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So if you want to enjoy Krishna's flute, just chant Hare Krishna, it's all there. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Next question. Huh? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Thank you, Manaji. Next question. Yeah.
Does everyone get the equal love from Krishna in spiritual world, or some gets more?
Does everybody get equal love from Krishna, or some get it more? Actually, Krishna hugs the gopis. He also hugs the calf. So everyone gets the equal love of Krishna. But they're all unlimitedly surrendered to Krishna, so they all get equal love of Krishna. In this world, we get reciprocation according to our degree of surrender. Krishna, somebody asked me a question, email. They said, well, Krishna says he's equal to everyone, yet we see he's partial to his devotees, so isn't this a contradiction? But the fact is that Krishna is impartial. Krishna's principle is a universal principle. He says, inasmuch as you surrender to me, I reward you. So that is an impartial principle that applies to every single living entity throughout all of existence. So in the material world, some people are totally inimical to God, some are a little bit open to him, they'll ask him for material boons. Some want to become his pure devotees, some have actually realized and become pure devotees. So Krishna reciprocates differently with each one of these people. But in the spiritual world, everyone is fully surrendered to Krishna to the highest degree. Therefore, everyone is getting an equal amount of love from Krishna, although that love takes different forms. You see, the gopi gets a certain type of relationship, the cowherd boy gets a different kind of relationship, the Nanda Maharaj, Mother Jasoda, everyone has different relationships according to the desire of how to please Krishna in a certain way. Some want to please him as a parent, some as a friend, some as a servant, some as his dhoti. Somebody wants to be Krishna's dhoti, so they get to be Krishna's dhoti. You see? So everybody gets to serve Krishna and please him in a certain way according to their desire, but everybody has pure, unlimited love for Krishna, and Krishna reciprocates unlimited that devotee according to his desire of how he wants to have a loving relationship with Krishna. So Krishna is very personal. He's not impersonal. He's the source of all persons. Therefore, he is the most personal of all persons. Anything else? Krishna's mercy is falling on us, but we trouble. Krishna's mercy, this is a very good point Guru Mataji is making. Krishna is bestowing unlimited mercy, loving mercy on all the living entities in this material world also. He's not holding back his mercy from anybody, but the trouble is we're holding umbrellas. We don't want to get wet. I want to stay away, just like I have one disciple. She won't even come hear my lectures. She's in Vrindavan. She won't even come to my lectures. She's got a huge umbrella. She doesn't want to get the mercy of Krishna, the mercy of Guru. Won't even come. She says she's sick. I saw her walking healthily down the street yesterday. 2 days ago, she's walking healthy down the street like a normal person. She says she's too sick to come to my lectures. And she's walking down the street like a healthy woman. I saw her on the street. She was exposed. So, you know, you can say, no, I don't want the mercy, or you can say, yes, I want the mercy. So how eager you are to come get the mercy, that's how much mercy you're going to get. If you say, I don't want the mercy, even one brahmachari, we're going to pay his ticket to come. He didn't want to come. You see? We're going to pay his ticket for him to come. He said, no, he didn't want to come. You see? So some people develop an attitude, some kind of envious, inimical attitude. They don't get the mercy. They cut themselves off from the mercy. So keep an open heart, be a non-envious, humble, submissive person, and you will get the full mercy of Krishna will inundate your consciousness and elevate you very quickly to the platform of pure love of God. Anything else? Yeah.
Does Kali Yuga affect this holy dhammas? For example, I'm not feeling something special here. It is the effect of Kali Yuga or what?
She's not feeling anything special here. Is that the effect of Kali Yuga? No, it's the effect of your own Kali Yuga consciousness. The fact is, a pure devotee can come here and feel the Goswamis were here during the Kali Yuga. And they were becoming transcendental madmen. That was only 500 years ago. That was 4,500 years into the Kali Yuga, they were going into absolute ecstasy here at this place. So if you become a pure devotee, the Kali Yuga will not affect your consciousness. You will not be in the Kali Yuga. If you can awake pure love of God within your heart, you will not be in the Kali Yuga. So, of course, the place is covered by Kali Yuga as a fact. This Vrindavan is very much covered by Kali Yuga. All the dirt everywhere, the filth. You see, everybody is trying to get your money. It's a covering. Definitely a covering in the Kali Yuga. But someone who is Krishna conscious can penetrate the covering and experience the actual Vrindavan. That's why I said the spiritual master is the revealer of the Dham. If you try to go and you're just to your own material vision, you can't enter Vrindavan by your own material vision. But by hearing submissively from your spiritual master and from advanced devotees, that's how you actually enter the Dham. Through the meaning of transcendental sound vibration, Shabda Brahman. If you just try to see Vrindavan, you'll see a shadow of Vrindavan. You won't experience the actual Vrindavan. But by hearing submissively from guru and advanced devotees, you'll actually enter into Vrindavan through the power of transcendental sound vibration. You understand? Huh? What did she say?
Kali Yuga is our consciousness.
Kali Yuga is... we are Kali Yugites right now. We have Kali Yuga consciousness. The age does affect us, there's no doubt. But we can allow the age to affect us by not taking shelter of Guru and Krishna. Or we can become free from the influence of Kali Yuga by taking shelter of Guru and Krishna. The choice is up to us. Do you want to be influenced by Kali Yuga, or do you want to be an influence upon this Kali Yuga by revolutionizing this material atmosphere and bringing Lord Chaitanya's movement? You see, there's the Kali Yuga atmosphere on one hand, and there's the Lord Chaitanya's movement on the other hand. So a preacher, he goes out to defeat the Kali Yuga by preaching Krishna consciousness, by high Nam Sankirtan, by book distribution, by preaching. The preacher, his mission is to defeat the Kali Yuga. Just like when someone gets cancer, you see, sometimes the cancer goes into remission for a period of time. So there, it is predicted in the scriptures there will be a 10,000 year period during which Kali Yuga goes into a state of remission, and the golden era of Lord Chaitanya will completely inundate this planet. So guess what? You can be a doctor, like a doctor, you see, to put the cancer into remission. Kali Yuga is a cancer. And this cancer of Kali Yuga is predicted to go into a state of remission. It's stated in the Krishnadas by Krishnadas Kaviraj in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Satsjana durjana pangu jadda anagana prema vanyaya dubala jagateda jana. This Krishna consciousness movement is a prema tsunami. It's a tidal wave of love of God. It will inundate the entire world and drown everybody, whether they are pious, impious, lame, invalid, or blind. So the Kali Yuga will go into remission by the power of Lord Chaitanya's movement. And if you take the mood of a preacher, then that means you're acting as an agent of Lord Chaitanya to defeat the Kali Yuga. So you can remain in the Kali Yuga by just, you know, serving your senses, not taking shelter of Guru and Krishna, or you can take shelter of Guru and Krishna and act as an agent of Lord Chaitanya to defeat the Kali Yuga. And we want you all to be in that mood. That's called preachers, you see. Jade Deka, Lord Chaitanya ordered all us to become preachers. Jade Deka Tare Kaha Krishna Upadesh, Amara Agaya Guru Harya Tare Desh. Whoever you meet, instruct them in the teachings of Krishna. In this way, on my order, you become a guru and deliver the people of this material world. You see? So take up this move, preaching move. And the Kali Yuga will be running scared pick up your book bag and go out on the street. The Kali Yuga is going to, Kali is going to go run hide somewhere to get away from you. Oh my God, here comes that Hare Krishna preacher again with Prabhupada's books. I got to run hide. Kali Yuga run. When you get that book bag, go out on book distribution. The Kali Yuga will run and hide somewhere. Oh my God, here they are again. I'm going to be defeated by these Hare Krishnas. Kali Yuga is going to run and hide. You see? So If you take a, you can be take a defensive mood. Oh, I gotta protect myself from Kali. You know, that'll be hard to be Krishna conscious. If you take an offensive mood, I'm gonna go out. I'm gonna attack the Kali Yuga by preaching book distribution, Harinam, Prasadam distribution, cultivating people to make them devotees, teaching people how to be Krishna conscious. You see, you take this aggressive mood, then you automatically conquered Kali. As Tamal Krishna Goswami one time said in Dallas, we had a temple president, it was a sannyasi, and we had a huge community. In that time, it was all one economy, all the householders. If the woman needed to buy diapers for her kids, she'd go to the temple treasurer to get diaper money for her kids. So it was the temple president, it was a very intense scene, managing a community like that in the early days of ISKCON, earlier days. So the our GBC, Tamal Krishna Maharaj, he came, he said, our sannyasi, temple president here, because he accepted all of your problems upon his head, therefore he has no problems. So if you will take the anxiety, you will take the suffering, the problems of this world as your problem, that I see a whole world which is in chaos, and now I accept the world, the world crisis as my personal responsibility to try to change the world, you see, then you're not going to have any personal problems. You won't have any personal crisis. If you take the world crisis as your problem, you'll have no problems yourself anymore. All your problems will be finished immediately. If you take the world crisis as your problem, you personally have no more problems, you see. But if you think, well, that's just for advanced devotees, then you're going to, and I can't take up the mood of a preacher, I can't do that, then you're going to have so many problems. My senses, my mind, my lust, my anger, my greed, my madness, illusion, envy, my tongue, etc. You'll have so many problems. But when you take the mood of a preacher, that my problem now is to help solve the people's problems on this planet, your problems will be gone immediately. So, should we stop here now? Any more questions? Guru Mataji, you think we've gone long enough now? Okay. So we'll stop here on that note about taking, that's a very good ending note, because that mode will put you right back, that'll put you into the mood of Brijabasi, you see, inhabitant of the spiritual world. If you take up Lord Chaitanya's move of pushing for this movement to save the suffering people of this planet, that immediately puts you in the mood of Vrindavan. You see, wherever you take this preaching spirit, you're in Vrindavan. Prabhupada was in Vrindavan wherever he went, because he was always trying to push forward Krishna consciousness to save the suffering people of this world. So always take this mood. I want to push forward this movement to save the suffering people of this world. If you do so, you'll be living. You will take Vrindavan. You will not, when you leave Vrindavan, it will go with you in your heart. You will never step a foot outside of Vrindavan if you take the world deliverance mission as your life and soul. So we'll stop here. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anybody wants a copy of this lecture, give me your flash drive, we'll give you a copy. Yeah, something, point more? Have a short kirtan? Okay, let's do it. Okay, you hold the mic. Give me the kartals. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Oh.
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Bolo, Hare Krishna.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna.
Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.